Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 8. Your smart speakers, download the podcast. Check out the ESPN app. We're on the app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mel Kiper Jr. is going to join us in 10 minutes. His Mock Draft 1.0 is out right now on ESPN.com. One team looking for a quarterback is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Will they be looking for it in the draft? Talked about this yesterday with Mike Tannenbaum. And he used the word scour. They need to scour. So how does Mike Tomlin describe their off-season search for a quarterback?
All options are on the table, but those decisions are interrelated based on our global needs and the totality of those global needs. And we have to improve our football team. There's two major ways that you do it. You do it through free agency and you do it through the draft. And so we have to look at what's available to us in the draft positionally. We have to look at what's available to us potentially in free agency positionally. And then we kind of bring those two discussions together, and it kind of gives us a path in which to go about addressing our needs.
Damn, coach, we're asking about a quarterback, not a curbing Russian aggression in Ukraine. He's talking about totality of global needs. What should the Steelers do to replace Big Ben? Keyshawn Johnson.
Find a quarterback. No, I think they, you know, getting something out of the draft right now, it depends on what they think, right? So when you start to build out a team and you start to build the infrastructure of a team, they've got a number of holes, not just being Roethlisberger. They need to address the cornerback position. Joe Hayden is up there in age. I don't think he'll be retained and brought back. They need to look at the offensive line to a degree. I don't know what they're going to do with Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know what's going to happen with Washington. So you start to look at all the different pieces. And if you say to yourself, we're going to rebuild this thing quietly and try to get back in the mix in 2 years, then you draft a young quarterback that you think could help you. If you say, we're going to free up some salary cap space and we're going to plug some holes and we're going to make a run at it because we can get Russell Wilson, or we can get Aaron Rodgers, or we can get a quarterback that's a veteran. Oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson. Oh, he's available now. Why? Because this, and this. Now you're looking at it a little bit differently. So you can go a lot of different ways, much like Coach Tomlin says, all bets are off. Everything is on at the top and on top of the deck. And we've got to see how to build from there.
It's I get torn sometimes in the situation, obviously, because it's, as Stephen A. would always say, it's fluid. But, Key, like, for them, like, to drafting a quarterback over trading for a veteran this offseason is that incredible question, right? And I don't know if there are quarterbacks where Mike Tomlin feels like, hey, I can continue to mold and develop this person into the future. I mean, obviously, if you can get an Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson, depending upon the situation, or Russell Wilson, you do something like that. I mean, I would have thought Derek Carr could have been a version I could see playing for the Steelers, but if you're the Raiders, you're not going to let Derek Carr go. Who are you going to get to replace? You know, like, you have to, almost like, you know, Mike Tannenbaum says, you have to scour. You have to really find those guys who have the right upside if you can't get one of the big stars.
I think the Steelers are the kind of organization, they don't necessarily need to find this guy is going to be the guy for the next 10 years. They need to find a guy that they can be competitive with right now, right? That's the kind of organization they are. And that's okay because that can bide you time. You know, I think about like a guy like Neil
O'Donnell.
Well,
see, that's not really – I was going to say, but that's not really true though, Max.
Why?
Because if you just think about the history of their quarterbacks, they've only had – a handful of guys, and most of the handful of guys was from a longevity standpoint. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Neil O'Donnell was there for a little bit.
He was.
Then like Tommy Maddox, they drafted, and then they went through a cycle of like Tommy Maddox and Mike Tomczak and Slash, and then they got the Ben. Then they hit on the Ben situation. That's why I think they're more likely to draft a guy and build that way opposed to getting a free agent.
Well, yeah, that could be. I mean, for sure. What I mean is the guy they draft, when I say Steelers, I don't mean, hey, look at the history of their franchise. I mean, look at Mike Tomlin and the team as currently constituted. I think they are ready because of the defense and the coach to compete again right away. Like, again, win more games than they lose. And so they could draft a quarterback that, you know, if it works out, great, but not put all their eggs in that basket. Not be, okay, this is the next Ben Roethlisberger. I think we're looking to kind of replace Roethlisberger with some.
Well, I don't think there'd be any quarterbacks in this draft where they would think, hey, we're putting all of our eggs in this kid's basket.
Right. Well, if you use a first-round pick on a guy, you are expending a lot of draft capital. You're not like just throwing a dart at a dartboard. You're hoping to hit. You know, you're looking for a bullseye on a first-round pick. Even if it's a little later in the first.
But first-round picks aren't as valuable. It just sounds crazy. It's not as valuable as they once were. That's why you see a lot of people just surrendering first-round picks left and right.
Why do you think that is, Key?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think it might be because of the money, maybe. I don't know.
They're more expensive now, you're saying. So the higher the price you have to pay the player right away, the less valuable the pick becomes?
I don't know the answer to it. I just think it has to do something with money because people surrender first-round picks and then they just throw them away. Like it's nothing. Where years ago, that wasn't the case. They held on to them. They tried to develop them. They gave them first and second and third and fifth chances. Now you draft a guy in the first round, you know, especially in the middle to the late first round, they like, oh, he's no good, cut him. Or he's no good, trade him. Or we got 3 years out of him, get rid of him. Think about the kid that you guys took, the Giants, Baker, the DB that's now with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. He was a first-round pick. He got into trouble. They didn't even waste to think about it. In the past, they would try to figure the situation out.
That's a good point.
They would try to let it sit and rest for a couple years. Man, they cut bait with him so fast.
And there is a player that is right in your backyard, the University of Pittsburgh, and that's Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pitt, yeah.
It's right
there. He has Pitt in his very name.
Well, actually,
Dwayne Haskins, let him compete.
You say in their backyard, Jay, literally in the same building.
Mm, yeah.
They're in the same building.
Wow.
They share the same facility as the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's why the Steelers, you know, they mess around with a lot of Pittsburgh Panther players, sign them in free agency. They even draft a couple here and there.
Let's bring Mel Kiper Jr. into this conversation. That always sounds like a good idea when we're talking about draft or even just football. Good morning, Mel.
What's up, good Mel? Morning, guys.
What's going on there? You got four quarterbacks in your first round, and we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have Malik Willis going to Washington at 11. Why is he the first guy off your board?
Talent. He's so gifted, powerful, strong, deceptively. I think defensive lineman, linebackers. I spoke to a linebacker in the SEC, said he was shocked how strong he was in terms of breaking tackles and how fast he was. You go back to 2020, he was outstanding. This year, you know, they were outmanned against Ole Miss, so you can't hold that game against them. And he did throw three picks against Middle Tennessee State and Louisiana Monroe. So he made some bad decisions, forced some things, but that happens when you're with a team, you're trying to make some plays. But I think at the end of the day, talent would win out there. Kenny Pickett's going to be right there. I think the issue is going to be, we're going to hear it between now and late April, hand size. Is it 8 3/4, 8.5, 9 1/4? 9's kind of the mark you want to be at. But at the end of the day, wearing the gloves, both hands, no matter what the weather is, Kenny Pickett will be scrutinized. And I have him going slightly ahead of where the Steelers are picking. I was listening to what you were saying about the Steelers and Kenny Pickett, the whole Mark Whipple connection. Mark Whipple, of course, now in Nebraska, but he was the OC and quarterback coach with Kenny there. I've been with the Steelers with Ben. But I think they would have to move up. I don't think Kenny Pickett right now drops down to where the Steelers are. I have him going to New Orleans, could have given them to Atlanta at 8 or Washington at 11, opted to go with Willis, gave Atlanta Derek Stingley Jr., but I think Pickett is gone by the Steelers selection.
So you don't think, so Mel, if New Orleans picking at 18 as of now, and Kenny Pickett's gone at 18, he slotted at 18, you don't think that he could fall to 20 to the Pittsburgh Steelers where you have Matt Corral slotted into that spot?
Well, it's a fine line between 8 and 18, and I think I could have very easily gone. I had it marked. I have my sheet right here. I crossed out Pickett and Willis twice and went to Derek Stingley Jr. So I was told, well, Matt Ryan's going to be there. They want to really get another player. They opted for Kyle Pitts last year over the quarterback. Maybe they go for a defensive player over the quarterback so I can help them win this year as opposed to the heir apparent to Matt Ryan. So I still think Atlanta, we have to see what happens with Denver, Washington, Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, see how that plays out. So there's a lot of different teams that are going to be maybe looking at other options other than the draft. And Mike Tomlin alluded to that. There's other ways. And these quarterbacks, there's mixed opinion guys on all these quarterbacks. These quarterbacks, if you said where would, say, Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett be if they were in last year's draft, they would have been behind those five. And I'd say a significantly behind those guys in terms of grade. So this group is not nearly what last year's was.
What's the difference between Malik Willis and Dwayne Haskins?
Mobility. Dwayne's a pocket passer, and Malik Willis can move. He's a dual threat quarterback. As I said, he's thick, he's powerful, he is fast, athletic, tough. He's a problem, okay, to deal with, and he can make all throws, off platform throws, roll left, roll right. When he's on his game and he's at his best, he's impressive. Very impressive quarterback to watch. Now, he had a lot of hiccups this year. He had a lot of bad moments. That's why Kenny Pickett, who had a phenomenal year, and keep in mind, guys, Kenny Pickett's going to be a 24-year-old rookie. That's rare. Okay, Burrow, we talked about coming out of LSU as a guy, age-wise, older than most. But 50 career starts, when do you ever see that with a quarterback in college? Well, you do with Kenny Pickett. And the coaching he received from one Mark Whipple really helped him. And he really, last year, so what happened last year? Well, last year he had an ankle injury that really hampered him. And that's the reason why he went back. He was healthy, and he lit it up. So, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, I think it's going to get down to those two. Maybe Matt Corral, but I'll go Pickett-Willis. That will be the debate as to who the first quarterback, QB1, will be come April 28th.
Mel, like you said, Joe Burrow, names like Trevor Lawrence, they're not in this draft, right? So how much change do you expect for when it comes to QBs as we move through the draft process?
That's a great question. I think it's going to be a lot. I think between now and late April, we have a lot of things. You have All-Star Games, Senior Bowl Week, Senior Bowl Game, Combine, Pro Days. All those things are very important. And like I said, the hand size for a picket, how people feel about wearing the gloves on both hands, no matter what the weather is. You're going to hear all kinds of things. And there's other quarterbacks that you can go get. We're going to hear about Jimmy Garoppolo. We're going to keep hearing about Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. The list goes on and on, okay, of different ways you can go after an and improve your quarterback situation. Do you want to go for the grand slam? Do you want to draft a quarterback that, like I said, none of these guys are as excited about as you were the five guys last year, okay? So that's why I have a lot of these guys going down the line a bit in round one. Even Sam Howell going into the year was projected top 10. He lost two running backs, two receivers to the NFL, and all of a sudden there he is as a possibility for the Lions late in the first round. So there's going to be a lot of fluidity, I guess is the word, with these quarterbacks between now and late April.
Mel Kiper Jr., our draft expert at ESPN, joining us this morning to talk about his mock draft 1.0 on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Let's talk about the New York Jets for a minute. They got two picks. They got 4 and 10. You have at 4 Kyle Hamilton, a safety out of Notre Dame, which I think is a phenomenal rangy guy, sideline to sideline, not afraid to stick his head in there, but also can go get the football a little banged up at times. And then you got at 10 Drake London from my alma mater, USC. Give us a little insight on these two guys, Mel.
Interesting, Key, that Kyle had the knee injury against USC on October 23rd. A week later, Drake had the fractured ankle against Arizona October 30th. So the two players I have going to the Jets both had injuries in late October. But they're both incredibly gifted, and they both bring great size and great range with Kyle Hamilton. He's an ideally suited all-around performer for the way I think that you attack and you play defense now in the NFL. And certainly, Drake London, when you think about the Jets, they have Elijah Elijah Moore. You got Braxton Berrios, Davis. But the size of London, that power forward, you know him very well, Key. Heck of a player. And unfortunately had the injury, like I said, on October 30th. But up until then, nobody could cover this guy. I only saw one drop when I watched him. I saw three games of his, of Drake's, and I saw one drop only. He was targeted a lot. He caught a lot of balls. And he is a problematic receiver to deal with. And I think for the Jets and Zach Wilson, your young quarterback, if he's there at 10, there's a debate whether he'll even be there at 10. Now with Jameson Williams' injury, it's clearly Drake London is the number one receiver. Will he even be there at 10? Maybe.
How now, fast do you think he'll run?
I don't really care, okay. I really don't. He'll run to probably, I would think, four fives, and that'll be fine. This is a kid with his ability. He'll draw, and he's already. And with this mock draft, this guy, just so you, it's your clear, this isn't has nothing to do with my ratings. This is all about talking to your friends in the NFL, getting their feelings about all these players, and trying to build an early consensus, which you can't do with everybody, but you do as the best you can. And with Drake London, I heard people compare him, Key, to Mike Evans and Plaxico Burress, and that's the player they see with Drake London. So you're looking at a kid who is already being compared to some really good ones. And like I said, top 10, definitely. Is he there at 10? Debatable, but if he is, I think the Jets certainly have to look that way. And if David Ojabo, say, doesn't go to the Giants, the pass rusher from Michigan, then he certainly could be in play for the Jets at 10.
Glad you brought up the Giants. And Mel, I understand, based especially on what you just said, you're doing a mock draft. The Giants don't have a GM. Very difficult to forecast who they're going to pick, right? How they're thinking. But you do have them taking an offensive tackle. I'm happy about that. And Ojabo in the first round. This is my question, because I'm all for the Giants just stockpiling offensive linemen right now. They don't have much of anything. Just stockpile and take a quarterback when he presents himself. But you have him with Ojabo. And my thing is, Mel, if you're going to do that, fine, if you're the Giants. But he better be a game changer, like Micah Parsons has been for the Cowboys, who the Giants passed on in that trade with the Bears. Anyway, how good is Ojabo going to be? Is he one of those guys?
Well, this year he was, and Aiden Hutchinson and Ojabo were really the difference makers, and they were the reason why Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines did what they did. They say the Georgia game. Well, neither Hutchinson nor Ojabo were given any opportunity because they got the ball. They basically schemed the game plan to make sure those two weren't wrecking the game for Georgia, and they didn't. They didn't have the opportunity to get to the quarterback. But I think Ojabo, the one year Max and guys bothers me, just I would have liked to have seen him back at Michigan to be the guy and put up double-digit sacks again. But he's coming out. He's got limited football background, but he is a talent. And certainly you mentioned Ekwonu, who is a gifted left tackle. People say, well, he's going to be a guard. No, he's not. He's going to be a left tackle, right tackle. And obviously, the Giants also need just help. They got to stay healthy. They can't ever, it seems like they can never get the guys on the field at the same time. Have the full complement of weapons, get everything together, and then have Daniel Jones back there healthy, which he wasn't obviously missing all that time. So it just seems like they have been plagued and just decimated by injuries year after year. If they can get some luck there and hit those, and anyway, now you have these two picks. They got the early two. They have a lot of picks in this draft. They're early on and up to the midpoint of the draft. So they have a great opportunity with the new GM and the new head coach to really improve this talent base and maybe make a quantum leap in terms of wins next year.
Mel, be real with me here. How hard was this mock draft to put together with all the QB movement we could potentially see this offseason, including a team like the Seahawks who could trade Russell Wilson for a top 10 pick?
Jay, it's brutal. I'll tell you, it's a tough deal doing these mocks. McShay did one before Christmas, okay, before he even knew what underclassmen were coming at. He does one right after the draft, looking ahead to this year's draft. These are hard to do. I could show you my sheet. I cross out names. You talk to people. They make you wonder. You have your own ideas, your own ratings. You have the needs, which will change dramatically. It's what I try to do is just give everybody an idea of who the players are, the range they could go in. You could all debate about this quarterback could go here or there, but these are the quarterbacks are going to go probably somewhere in round one in that range of where I have them. It could change, obviously, after the process plays out. But it's a heck of an exercise. It's fun. I love talking to the guys in the NFL and getting their varied viewpoints. When you talk to one they'll say first round. Another one will say third round for the same guy. So your head's spinning a little bit, but you got to go back to what you saw. And at some point, you got to make a call based on the way you think things will play out between now and then. Key said, what's he going to run? I don't know what these guys are going to run. A lot of these guys haven't run for the clock yet. So you don't even know that yet. So, again, we're going to have a battle between Devin Lloyd, linebacker Utah, and the other great linebacker, Nakobe Dean. What do they run? Remember when Bush and Devin Bush ran? They both ran. I was at the combine. They both ran like 4.43. So they were both right there. One went top 10. One went right off of that. So I think there's going to be – and Jameson's injury. How is Jameson's ACL viewed? Something second round? I think New England at 21 will say, boy, here's a top 10 guy. We're getting him in the 20s. Let's take this guy. If we have to wait a little bit, so be it. We're getting a top 10, top 8 player in Jameson Williams who can take the top off of defense every game. And he's a great kid. He's a hard worker. He's a warrior. We're getting him at a point where we wouldn't have seen him without that injury.
That's Mel Kiper Jr., ladies and gentlemen. The great Mel Kiper Jr. offering more evidence as to the great Mel. Always a pleasure to hear from you, and we will talk soon.
You got it, guys.
All
enjoy it.
All right, Mel.
Take care, bud.
So I can't even imagine. Can you imagine you try to put a mock draft together?
No.
The GM positions aren't all filled. The coach positions aren't all filled. It is like with like the some of the teams you go, yeah, I have a good sense. But a lot of teams, you're making your best guess.
Like you have, I have no idea what the Giants – I mean, you have a sense of, hey, Giants probably take somebody offensive line. We talked about that. But, I mean, look, there are a lot of outliers with who they decide to put in the front office for Minnesota, Chicago. It's just it goes through the list of all the teams about trying to understand what the hell these guys are going to do.
You think the Giants need an offensive lineman.
Exactly.
But the new general manager comes in and says, well, what we have fits what we want to do schematically, mm-hmm. so we don't need to do that. We need to do this instead.
Yeah, I think he fit with the last regime's schematics, too. They were trying to lose more and more games every year. If that's what they were looking for, they got the right guys
it's
on this
too
team.
Max, man.
One former top pick has picked up right where he left off in college and now has a franchise-thinking Super Bowl for the first time in decades.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Rex in studio. Who does Joe Burrow remind you of?
He reminds me of Tom Brady. Earlier in the season, I mentioned it. His mannerism, but his leadership, and in the biggest moments, this guy is the calmest, and he's got just a hired killer mentality, and that's what he reminds me of Tom Brady. And 10 years from now, we're going to say, this guy's the next Joe Burrow.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are joined now by Coach O himself, Ed Orgeron, ladies and gentlemen, former LSU head coach, national champion. Coach O, how are you?
You're doing great, guys. Great to be on the show.
Good to have you with us, Coach.
Coach, how surprised are you at the jump that Joe Burrow and the Bengals made this season?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. When he got Jamar, I knew the leadership skills of Joe O'Neill. And I think Coach Ryan was right. All the things he said was exactly right. But the thing that Joe did when he came here from Ohio State, he was humble. And he worked hard. And he earned the respect of his football team. He's got the toughness of a linebacker. He's got the mind of a general. He's the son of a coach. And he's the smartest football player I've ever been around.
Mm.
Coach, a lot of people were saying that the Bengals should have selected Penei Sewell with their draft pick. And I know certain people, myself, I was on air talking about the ability to have the relationship, the chemistry, the experiences between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. What about that relationship is so special off the field that makes it translate to on the field?
Yeah, it grew and fostered. You know, the players believed in Joe. And, you know, one of the things that our receiver coach made them do is in the summer, they had to catch 10,000 balls together. You're in the summer, your coaches are not there. Nobody's around, and you're creating those relationships. They're going out to eat. They're getting to know each other. They're running routes. They get to know the strength and the weakness of everybody. But, again, those guys believed in each other, especially in the big games here. When Joe knew he was going to get one-on-one, again, you got to have a smart quarterback. He put Ja'Marr to his right, where Ja'Marr liked to be the best to his right. I can see they're doing the same thing with Cincinnati. It's just hard to cover Ja'Marr one-on-one. He's got great release off the line of scrimmage. He's extremely fast and he's strong, and Joe knows where to put the ball.
Coach O, we tend in the media to reach for the skies when we compare players to others. Joe Burrow's been recently compared at times to a young Tom Brady. How do you think that's – you know him a little bit. How do you think that sits with him?
I think it fits, you know, but obviously he's got to do it. You know, as you and I both know, you know, you got to win the big game, man. To be a Tom Brady, you got to win the big game. You know, to be a Joe Burrow here at LSU, you got to win the big game. You got to beat Alabama on the road, which you did. You got to win the national championship. And, Key, you know this, man. The best leaders are the guys that are making plays, the guys that are working hard every day, the guys that are doing the right thing on and off the field. And Joe does that.
What do you think makes – because we talked about this on the show a lot, Coach. What do you think makes that connection so good with between Burrow and Chase? Now, I understand they played together, and I've highlighted that, and Key has highlighted the fact that Chase is going to ball wherever he goes. But I imagine that built-in chemistry helps, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's a great chemistry. You know what? Joe lets Ja'Marr be Ja'Marr. Ja'Marr, you can't get Ja'Marr off the field, man. He's going to work. Ja'Marr's not into all the hype. He's not into all the accolades. Neither is Joe. Those guys, they kind of both the same. They're hard workers, unusually. You know, a receiver, you know, he wants to catch. All right, they want to get some certain catches. They want all that stuff. A quarterback, you know, you would think, Joe, you know, Joe, when we're going for the championship run, you know, we beat some teams where there were some trophies on the field. They left the trophies on the field. I mean, they wanted the national championship. That's all they wanted. And when we, you know, everybody in the room knew Joe was going to win the Heisman. We never talked about it. And Joe won the Heisman. It was a great award. But those guys had one thing in mind, is winning the championship.
Yeah, Coach, I'm just curious about this. Some people are starting to say Joe Burrow could win a Super Bowl in his second year in the league. Do you see that as being feasible? Is that possible for him, his second year in the league?
I'm being a fan here. usually I'm working. I don't get to watch all these games. They got some good teams out there. Man, Buffalo, Kansas City, St. Louis. How about that defense they got? Green Bay. I watched the last game. And I know Joe would say, we need to do better in the red zone in Cincinnati. We can't go down there and kick field goals. And I think they have a chance. Yes, they do. But there's some good teams out there. It's going to be interesting to see.
You still hanging out at the beach eating cheeseburgers, Coach?
Hey, man, I'm flying to Miami Beach today, big boy. I got some stone crabs for you tonight, Key. How about that?
Oh, Joe Stone Crab. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. You probably got your own table in there. I'm going to mention your name.
All right.
Look at you, Coach. Always keeping Joe in your life. Still keeping Joe in your life. I like it.
There ain't no question.
That is the great Ed Orgeron, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Key, I think you guys made a great hire at USC.
Oh.
No, you see, you say you guys, you mean we, because you still a Trojan.
Put it
this way. You know how it is, Coach O. When you start making big promises, you got to deliver. Yeah. Because the moment you don't deliver when you made them promises, when you signed on, we watching real close now.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I know that. Hey, but I do believe this guy's got what it takes, and you know you got to capture Los Angeles first.
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate you jumping on with us this morning.
My pleasure, man. I'm going to think about you guys on the beach. Call me if you need me.
Coach, all right, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking, obviously, a lot with Coach about Joe Burrow. national champion? Will he be a Super Bowl champion? And look, the Bengals had some, you know, they celebrated, and it looked like Joe Burrow was okay with that for winning the division, right? The regular season. But now a new goal, win the Super Bowl. So he was asked, was he excited to get his first playoff win, Joe Burrow was, after his first playoff win? Listen to the answer.
Yeah, I think the fans were very excited, but I tried to downplay it and all that because this is, you know, this is how it's going to be from here on out. You know, this is a great win for us, but you know, this is the standard for, you know, the bare minimum every year going forward. You know, I think that's the, you know, one of the biggest jobs of a quarterback is displaying confidence in yourself, and part of being a leader on the team is, you know, showing that confidence in all your other guys as well.
You're going to hear Jay Wills and Key's reaction to Joe Burrow's comments. You're not going to miss what Jay has to say. Okay. What Key has to say to Jay after that.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Rex in studio. Who does Joe Burrow remind you of?
He reminds me of Tom Brady. Earlier in the season, I mentioned it, his mannerism, but his leadership, and in the biggest moments, this guy is the calmest, and he's got just a hired killer mentality, and that's what he reminds me of, Tom Brady. And 10 years from now, we're going to say, this guy's the next Joe Burrow.
I understand what Coach is saying there. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN app. I understand what Coach means there. And every time one person is compared to another, oh, are you saying he's in the same? Listen, the odds that anyone ever wins seven Super Bowls again as a quarterback are slim, right? So I'm not saying anything like that. I will point out that Burrow is a more kind of physically gifted player than Brady, and is it more, I'd say, more advanced this far into his NFL career, that he's being asked to do more. Of course, we live in an era where quarterbacks are asked to do more.
Yeah.
But if he ever wins a single Super Bowl, that's a great accomplishment. And if he wins multiple, he's in a select category.
Yeah, they're going to always – I mean, that's just how it goes. You compare people because that's just what people do. They start comparing guys that went to schools or guys that look similar. I always used to joke with coaches, everybody that's 6'4", dark, tall, with a fade that play receiver ain't Keyshawn Johnson, so get it out your head.
You know, on the other hand, I like using the greats as comparisons. And Jay, I know you're a chess player. If you ever read chess books, like if you study, I don't know, Capablanca or one of these great chess masters from the past, the point is they'll do something, and some average player may have a game that he's trying to model after or has some similarities, and you might say, ooh, that's like something that's – you're not saying this player is as great as Capablanca. What you're saying is it reminds you of it. It's derivative of it in some way. It's a reflection of it in some way. It reminds you of it. And I don't think people should be scared off from me. I once said Gennady Golovkin, the way he threw Triple G, the way he threw a punch reminded me of Joe Louis. Oh, you're putting him in the same category as Joe Louis? No, I'm saying he reminded me of him in that way.
I got one for you. Kobe. Like, you're like, all right, Kobe. Like, there were parts of Kobe at a young age that remind you of Mike.
The exact replica of, right? Michael,
like,
Jordan.
Right. So And there's nothing wrong with that, like the mannerisms, the poise.
My point is, you don't have to turn out to be Kobe Bryant to make the comparison to Michael. Like, you're not saying he's as good. Anyway, Joe Burrow.
He took me down a rabbit hole, Key. I'm going to start going all the way down it. Joe Burrow, back up.
Joe Burrow does have something else in common with Tom Brady and the greats, you know, the all-time greats, in the sense that he is extremely confident. He was asked if he was excited to get his first playoff win.
Yeah, I think the fans were very excited, but I tried to downplay it and all that, because this is, you know, this is how it's going to be from here on out. You know, this is a great win for us, but you know, this is the standard for, you know, the bare minimum every year going forward. You know, I think that's the, you know, one of the biggest jobs of a quarterback is displaying confidence in yourself. And part of being a leader on the team is, you know, showing that confidence in all your other guys as well.
You like it, Key?
Absolutely love it. I think Joe Burrow is fascinating to me because he's a young leader. And when you're a young leader and you're doing it the way you want to do it opposed to the way other people want you to do it, you know, back in the day, there was this whole notion of at the quarterback spot, you had to do things a certain way. You never, it was like a party line. They, as soon as the game is over, they usher you straight to the podium and tell you what to say. You know, to say this, make sure you stay on point. That's not the case no more. We're away from that. Be you. Be who you are. But tell people what you really feel and how you really feel about what you think.
Jay, I don't. He didn't sit there and guarantee a Super Bowl or this year or every year or any year. What he said was, here's what I think the standard should be around here. We should make the playoffs. We should advance in the playoffs. I think that's the floor.
I don't have a problem with it. All I've been saying before, though, is when you're a young player coming into any league, even if you are well-positioned to be the leader of that franchise, like just saying those things, you have to be somewhat careful about that, right? Because a lot of things are out of your control, like GM decisions, head coaching decisions, injuries, a lot of things go into that. So I'm fine with that being, hey, I'm setting the bar, I'm speaking that into existence. But all I'm saying to you is, like, it's a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in 30-plus years. And you're saying, hey, there's a new sheriff in town. All I'm saying is there's a lot of ancillary things that can happen that can derail where that sheriff wants to take the program or the franchise.
What's that? What? He just made a noise.
We got pulled over by the cops. Key and I got nervous. I just...
You said sheriff.
Yeah.
I hear you, Jay, but this, like, there's one thing to go in and write checks with your mouth that your you-know-what can't cash, right? But it's another thing to say, we have certain goals around here. I'm going to celebrate, because I think this part got lost of it, because I took from the entire interview I took, or the whole, we played you a clip of it. We won the division, we made the playoffs. We celebrate then. That's step one. Step two now is we're trying to win a Super Bowl, right? So we advanced, but that's like when Kobe was asked, it's going around on social media now, but he was like, hey, you're up 2-0 in the finals. Well, you know, I expected a big smile from you. But in the NFL, winning a playoff game is just like winning a game in the finals. You need four to win.
Kobe already won championships before that?
No, winning a final.
No.
I mean, winning a playoff game in the NFL is like winning a series in basketball. It's not like winning a game.
No, I get it, but I'm saying...
Because you're moving on to the next.
The analogy is, if you're looking to win a championship and you're in the finals, you win game one. You need to win four games in the finals to win a championship, right? Mm-hmm. So if you forget about everything else, you need, unless you have the number one seed, four wins in the playoffs to win a Super Bowl. He's on game one. He just has won. He's saying, yeah, of course, we need to do this at least.
Hear me, Max. Again, I'm all about players showing individuality, and I am stating this right now. I am a huge Joe Burrow fan. Mm-hmm. Huge Joe Burrow fan. And I think they have a legitimate shot at winning a Super Bowl. All I'm saying is sometimes when things start going well, you start getting a little bit like, all right, like a little bit like not cocky, but it's kind of like the shades, everything, the whole feel of it, right? We're like, all right, Joe, like just keep this in perspective. Like we're only in year two. And I understand some people will
sound
love
like
the confidence.
Sound like you don't really like what Joe doing there, boss.
Like what Key is saying, I know Key's one of those guys. That's how Key has lived his career. All I'm saying is just be careful a little bit with taking it a little bit slow about like, our expectations, we're winning. So like, all right, just like
I would agree with you, Jay.
Just a tad.
I would agree. I would agree with you.
You can have that internally, Max. But you don't mean to openly state that to everybody.
You know, I was going back to Derek Jeter because I'm a big Yankees fan. But like, if Jeter won 4 World Series in his first 5 seasons in the majors, if he would have said, "My expectation, like, you know, yes, we're going to win the World Series every year," that would be one thing. But if he's like, "My expectation this year, like every year, is I'm trying to win the World Series," I love that. You know, and he only won one more the rest of his career, right? After winning, and he played 20 years just about. So it's not always going to work out that way. But he had nothing to worry about because of the way he approached his business, because of the way he led the team, because of the success that they did have, right? That's the goal every year. And Joe Burrow, to me, all I hear is, look, every year, I want everyone around here, fans, ownership, everyone, to expect us to make the playoffs and win a single playoff game. And now we could talk about the rest later, but, like, I'm not celebrating this.
Okay, that's cool.
He shouldn't celebrate a wild card win. And there's no question to celebrating, but he should expect every single year that we're going to win this division. We're going to be here. We're not going away. We're a young football team. We're energetic. We feel like we can take things and run with it. He should feel that way 150% and not succumb to the party line.
I'm curious, Jay, because you in college, you went to the program with the coach. You were the man. I always say on the show, you didn't just win player of the year once. You won it twice, and you won a national title. Mm-hmm. So given your career at Duke, are you saying that you believe the best way to achieve success is not this way? It's counterproductive to achieving success? Or are you saying, hey, Joe, you shouldn't say that as a hedge against failure?
I'm not saying Joe can say whatever the hell he wants. He's a grown-ass man, man. All I'm saying is my thing is, like, I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to win a national championship. I know what my standard is. It's internally, I know what my standard is. I feel like when I start telling people what our standard is, like, why do I need to tell you what our standard is? You see that in my actions daily. You see that in how I talk to my teammates.
There's something to that
you
thing.
You see, like, I don't need to tell you what my standards are. I know what the hell my standards are. I live that damn thing
every day. Get off my lawn, Jay. Get off my lawn.
No,
I'm just
Key,
saying,
like,
when I tell you what my standards are, why I got my pink shades on, it sends off, you're like, ugh.
Key, I understand. That's a slightly, okay, this is the first time today that I'm starting to understand this a little differently, Key. Okay. Of course, now we have 30 seconds left. But it seems to me like,
go ahead, chew all them 30 up, Max.
There is a school of thought, Key. I'll give you last word. There is a school of thought where don't let that out. Hold that in. You don't need to be going saying that, because be about it, you know? What about that?
You could do that, but it's a different age, man. People do it different now. That's why everybody's all on social media. Everything that they do in their life, they putting on social media. If they go eat a potato chip, it's on social media. Mm. They buy a car, it's on social media. That's the world we're in. People want to tell you.
Potato chips on social media, making $17 million a year for doing it.
Exactly.
Key, you also hate that, though, because Devontae Adams talked about stop doing workouts for social media, so there is a balance.
Well, workouts is
different. Jay Willimax is back tomorrow with former Titans and Rams coach Jeff Fisher. Greeny's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.